Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, from another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill, as is highspeedweb.net that streams our signal 24/7, 365. Mr. Wizard, it's Chet Miller, is with us today on our Straight Talk program. This is a very interesting gentleman that I've had a pleasure to get to know here over the last few years, and we're going to be talking about something near and dear to your county's heart, which is, what are we going to do about all the congestion on the highways? Mass transit? Is that a possibility? We'll find out. All right, Chet, you know, it's been a while since you've been on the show, so you need to tell everybody just a little bit about your illustrious background.
Oh, I tell you what, why don't I pass on that one here?
Well, go ahead.
But in all seriousness, that my background, as you know, I've known you now, 17 years since I've been here, but I came out of the space program or aerospace, whatever you want to call it, so I have a long career there, dating back to 1959, whenever I first started with the Martin Company.
Wow.
So it goes back a few years.
And it's when he landed in York County, he decided, you know, I think I need to spend my time on helping my new home here. And you have been the instigator, the top dog on virtually every bond referendum that's been happening in this county in the last number of years.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. It was a question came up here not long ago, and I went back and took a look at all the ones I've either been a member of or chairman of, like the last time I was chairman for two of them back-to-back, which was Pennies for Progress, the road program, and then prior to that, the bond referendum for all the new county buildings, which I'm proud to say as I drive by and see all these things going up, it's really remarkable.
Yeah.
And the admin building, I'm quite pleased with. I had a personal tour here about a month or so ago that, and I was quite
beautiful quite happy. Building.
But altogether, I'm getting probably close to $750 million of projects, and that would include the alcohol stuff also.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you, and thanks to all the citizens who got involved in those efforts, because it was no small task, and we would not have the road system that we have today if it hadn't been for Pennies for Progress. All right. So here we are. We're in Pennies for Progress iteration number 4, and right outside our window here at Substation 2, we can see one of the major projects, which is the total rebuilding of Cherry Road from Alumni Drive right up to Cherry Park. That's been a job.
Yeah, that was one I was involved with this last go-around. In fact, I walked that whole thing, so I don't want to let anybody know I was involved with that. Right now, they probably want to shoot me.
But, oh, my gosh.
But it was long overdue, though, you know, and it's one of these things, the growing pains you have to go through to improve it.
And it's not just a simple take off the blacktop and put down another layer. This is the whole building, the whole subsurface.
Right.
Well, with that being said, I think it's fair for us to point out that we are pretty much built out, are we not, on these major highways? We can't keep expanding, can we?
Well, let me back up a little bit. I was involved with the second Pennies for Progress ever. Neil Welborn was chairman. And this past time, as you know, I was chairperson for it. But it's very apparent that we've four-laned ourselves or six-laned ourselves out of business. If you take the area that, like Allison Love, has voiced a lot of concern, and rightfully so, with regard to the Lake Wylie area, you go down through there, 274, out to Buster Boy Bridge, when we took the two-lane bridge and went to four-lane and the four-lane highway out to there. It's as wide as it's going to get. You can't widen it because it costs you billions of dollars to relocate all those businesses and so on along there. So there has to be another solution to it. And she's right in terms of concern about continuing building up there. What can we do to offload it? Which brings up a rapid type transit system concept. Now, I think this last Pennies that I was involved with, we've about done it as far as four lanes are concerned, or six lane. And the only thing that would happen 7 years from now, if there was another one, would probably be a strictly a maintenance type Pennies for Progress to take care of what we have.
Now, when you say rapid transit, I don't think you're talking about putting in a bunch of buses to shuttle people back and forth to Charlotte.
No, that would just add to the I-77 problem and also the part going up 274. What I've said to a couple of people here on this was, why don't we try to activate these rail lines that are still in place that need to be upgraded and so on. We have a rail line going from York, for example, that's not used. I believe it belongs to Norfolk Southern and comes from there all the way into Newport over to the hospital to downtown on the main lines. There's another spur running up. I didn't go take a walk through there to take a look at the others I did. And then, of course, it goes up through Fort Mill and then into the main line to Fort Mill and then into Charlotte and into two different locations. The comment that I made was, why don't we do like what they did down in South Florida and also in Virginia? I've ridden these systems. We take existing rail lines, and they're roughly around 60-mile-an-hour type trains, and use that as your, quote, mass transportation, rather than if you try to look at a light rail system, you're talking billions of dollars. There's no way that I think we could afford that within the next few decades. You're probably looking somewhere around 20, 30 years from now before that could ever happen.
So to do that, I think the very first stumbling block, one might say, is dealing with a railroad. I mean, Norfolk Southern is like every other railroad in the country. They're hard to get them to come to the table to do a whole lot of stuff. I mean, do you think they would be, I mean, slightly interested in letting
well, it's like anything else. Until you sit down with them, this would be would have to be a county effort. That you look at, for example, what the city of Rock Hill's done with their bus system, the internal bus system. This would be a complement to that, in my mind. You know, what the county would be required to do is similar to what we did at the Lake Wally Athletic project up there. I was involved with them to do the bond referendum, but we had both a capital part to it and an expense part to it. So if you did that on a countywide, it would behoove everyone, because the ones that in the northern part there of 274 would sure like to have the people from the southern part of it not come up through there to compete for their trying to get to work every morning, and the same with I-77. So what the county would do would be buy land at locations where you put a station where people would park the car, get onto the train, and then go up into Charlotte or wherever to the hospital, for example. You take the number of folks that would come from Western New York, for example, just into the hospital and into downtown Rock Hill, there would be quite a few there just using that facility alone. So it's one, I think it has some merit to it. It just needs to have some study to it and some serious effort put towards it. That's how I see it.
Have you seen or heard of an existing idea like this working elsewhere?
Yes. If you look at, for example, Virginia, I've ridden that system before going into Washington. Now, the state of Virginia, they've really gone after this thing. And as I understood it whenever I was up there a number of times, that they, as a state, have subsidized some of it to take the traffic off I-95. Now, down in Miami, whenever we take West Palm Beach south all the way into Miami, that system there is part of an existing rail system that was put in there. And I've been on that one also. So I've been on a number of these. In fact, the latest one I was on was one in Sweden this past Monday. I rode that one quite a distance from Stockholm out to a remote area and back. And that was another one. It's a light rail type thing. Not a light rail, but a train type system that's using existing rail facilities.
So your idea would be that basically, Norfolk Southern would run this for the county. We pay them to do this.
Well, the way I would view this, you know, let me back up just a little bit here. First of all, I think a bond referendum could be sold to the voters here to implement such a system. Where the county would be involved would be to buy properties for the parking of cars. For example, where they would start out at York. There'd be a parking facility out there, whether it be a flat or a parking garage or what have you. Then the rail system, though, that would be theirs. In other words, they themselves, Norfolk Southern, would run it. They'd collect the fee for it or whatever. That's how I view it as a passenger transit system. The thing I looked at on there, and I wasn't too sure because I didn't get into all of it, but I looked into what the federal subsidies were to activate some of these lines. It looked to me like there might be federal funds available to rehab the lines for pasture services such as this. So there looks to me like there might be federal funding available to take care of that portion of it. But the county involvement would be mainly that of two things. One is buying property for parking, putting up a station. The other would be to have an expense portion where you would have monies available to the rail system to subsidize it for the first couple years in terms of getting it into a profitable situation for the carrier itself, like Norfolk Southern, whoever it is that owns these rail lines. So that's how I view it. So it's sort of like what we did with regard to the athletic center up there in 274 for the one that they're building that park up there. I think they've already started it.
Oh, yes, right.
So I did that one there in terms of having the county residents who not pay the expense to do that. It's the owners right in there, the property owners that are in that area where the park is going in. They pay that every year.
So the actual cars for this system you're describing will be provided by Norfolk Southern. They provide the trains and the cars and operators and what have you.
That's how I would view it, unless there would be some change that they would do different or whatever, but that's how I would view it, yes.
And they would charge whatever per ride.
Right.
And whatever the shortfall is, the county would make it up through the bond referendum money.
Right, on the expense portion of the bond referendum, correct. So that would last, say, for 2 or 3 years after you start it.
Right. Well, even if a subsidy was required for longer than 2 or 3 years, the dollars on subsidizing a system like this would be a lot less than trying to build more roads.
Oh, well, plus the fact that, let me put it this way, the one I rode this past week in Sweden, the one way was equivalent to about $3.50 in terms of the one way out there to where I was going. Even if you charge, say, $4 or, say, $5 one way to Charlotte, I dare say that you're going to spend a lot more than that in gas just getting there, plus wear and tear on your vehicle, plus the parking and everything else. So if we had parking facilities like at the Newport area, at the Piedmont Hospital area, you'd be surprised, I think, in terms of how many people would say, yeah, I'm going to drive that far with my car, but I'm going to jump on the train from here on at this point on.
I mean, just to think what you pay to park a car in downtown Charlotte. I mean, it's more than $5 a day.
Right. So it looks to me like rather than try to go all the way on light rail, use existing systems. And I had a picture I show you. Of course, people in the air can't see it, but this is one of the ones I rode in. It's a double decker.
Oh, yeah.
And it's pretty slick on how these things work and how many people. So it looks to me like you probably on a typical train. Oh, I bet you'd be taking somewhere around 500 people at a time on this thing, you know.
Whew.
That is a lot of cars off the road.
So these other cities that you mentioned, like Virginia and Miami, is Norfolk Southern or their equivalent, whoever they are, doing something like this? I mean, would this be the first of its kind, do you think?
I don't think so, but, bear in mind, I was not involved with that, so I don't know the details of it. All I can say is what I've ridden and what I've seen. Like, this is a picture of one of the trains there. In terms of the car itself, it's not like a big steam locomotive type thing that you look at. It's like a small tractor type vehicle that drives these things. So,
well, who knows? I mean, maybe the referendum would be we would have to buy one of those cars or something.
Who knows? But once you get into the detail, as they say, the devil's in the details.
Sure.
But it looks to me like a solution, and that, like I said, that. Allison Love definitely has, concern about it up there, rightfully so.
Oh, yeah.
And I sympathize with what she's saying about the growth up there and the traffic and so on, because I've ridden that a number of times at the 5 o'clock period. It's a bear trying to get through there. So this would, I hope, would alleviate that problem. But like I said, until you get a group together that says, okay, let's go do this thing and pull it together, it looked to me like, again, whenever I started looking at some of the federal stuff, it looked to me like there might be federal funding available that would help activate this system. Right. So there'd be funds available to do this.
All right, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Sherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us, a community built on care. PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. And, of course, we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, where we prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week. And anybody who's here, who's been here before, knows exactly how we do it. There's a magical formula to it. We all chant it out together. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. All right, back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Hectic schedule? In a rush? Now you can order your favorite Substation 2 sub or salad online and skip the line. Just go to MySubstationII.com, click on the online order tab, place your order, and come and get it. That's MySubstationII.com. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Relax. Love your car payment with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. If you're ready to buy your new car and start making those unforgettable memories, Founders features an easy online application, flexible terms, low rates, 24-hour account access with Founders Online, and fast, friendly service. Visit Relax, join Founders.com, or one of our more than 30 offices to see if you qualify for membership. Relax. Love your car payment with Founders. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Good Pharmacy, building trust for four generations.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. Enjoy our spacious new modern look and take advantage of Rock Hill's original drive-thru with pickup and drop-off service.
My mom loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
Nicole Thompson, assistant principal at Griggs Road Elementary School in Clover.
The connectivity program, it's more than just academics. It became helping them to feel part of a school system, have a voice in their building and inside of their classrooms, but it also provided us an opportunity to really get to know families one-on-one. Technology is a gateway for students to really see their potential and what 21st century learning is all about and to be ready. Luckily, Comporium was willing to get on board, helping us to educate our students.
Hear the full story at humantech.comporium.com.
On October 24th, Piedmont Medical Center goes pink, a women's health event for our community. PMC Goes Pink is an evening of education and fun for women that's completely free. This educational ladies' night out in the hospital's Women's Tower Auditorium features local vendors, hors d'oeuvres, and drinks, a free gift, and health talks from women's health professionals. To register, go online to mypmc.com/breastcancerevent. That's mypmc.com/breastcancerevent.
What's hot at Substation 2? The new hot beef brisket sandwich. Brisket is smoked tender beef, sliced to order, served hot and delicious, and gardened your way. This is a limited time offer, so titillate your taste buds today with a hot beef brisket sandwich at Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Chet Miller, who's been a very involved citizen of York County for a number of years, spearheading a number of bond referendums, Pennies for Progress, the new county's building program referendum, which was done a couple of years ago. Anyway, we've been sitting here. I run into Chet every once in a while. And we get talking about what are we going to do about this, what are we going to do about that. And, of course, part of that conversation is, what the heck are we going to do about traffic? And if you miss the first part of the program, Chet says, we have four-laned ourselves out of business, quote, unquote. Ain't got no more room for no more four-lane highways. We're about done. And if there's a future Pennies for Progress, it probably would be more along the maintenance line. But the population of the county is continuing to grow. We're bumping 400,000 now. Who knows what it's going to be 5 or 10 years from now. So,
let me give you a little data point.
All right.
Whenever I first started these bond referendums, petitions especially, we had in the database, I had around about 80,000 registered voters. This goes back a little over a decade or so ago. Today we're running, I believe the latest number I had on the database I have is for York County, it's like 185,000. Now, does that tell you something?
Yeah.
You know, in terms of how it's grown. So whenever you go from 80 to 185,000, I think it's 185,000, somewhere in that neighborhood, you can see how much we've grown here in terms of people within the county.
And all those people have to move from point A to point B. And I remember, I just said this morning on the air again, former Mayor Doug Echols sitting right where you are a while back saying RFATs in one of their studies had projected, and I'm going to say by 2025, that I-77 will be rated as an F, that you would come up Cherry Road, get on the R-ramp to I-77, and just stop. Well, that's happening right now, but a little bit further up the road, right at Highway 160. I mean, it's just a mess.
Highway 160, you can hardly even get through there anymore.
Yeah, and look at Kingsley. They built that brand-new Kingsley, and they got problems getting people in and out of it because of the traffic. Okay, so we've outlined this idea, this vision, of using the existing rail lines, partnering with Norfolk Southern in some fashion to run this thing. But as you say...
Let me correct one thing here, but I think it's Norfolk Southern. I did not get into who it is, but I believe that's who it is. So it could be CSX or somebody else or whatever.
Right.
But the point is, it's their rail lines.
Somebody who's in the railroad business.
That's correct.
Whoever owns those lines.
Whoever owns those lines, that's right.
And so how do we take this vision, this idea, and get it beyond a talk show topic? I mean, how do we get it in front of the kinds of people that need to hear it? Because they're responsible for, you know, making sure people have a quality of life that they're supposed to have.
Well, I think, you know, to give the county its due, you know, the county has put together various groups, study groups, like whenever we did the facility study for the county before it went on to the bond for the vote for everybody. We did have a study committee the county had put together, and I was part of that. So it looks to me like the way to do this, it needs to be a county run program or led by the county. And for the county, then probably the logical step for them to put together a committee to study this, to say, is it feasible, what would it cost, how would you do it, and get various input from citizens around here. So you'd have a group of probably about 15 to 20 people to be on a committee from various aspects of the county to go ahead and pull together what this would look like. And it would also mean an interface with those with the city of Rock Hill and the other cities around here, like Fort Mill and so on. So it'd be a county-wide effort, and I think it's doable. The cost of doing a study is not that much in order to do that, because usually most of the people on there, like myself, are volunteers, so you're not paying any money per se for these people.
So have you had an opportunity to share these thoughts with any of the elected officials, and if so, what kind of response did you get from them?
Yeah, I don't want to put anybody on the spot on it. One of them I'm good friends with, he and I had lunch one day here about 2 months ago. We talked about it. And I questioned at that time how much was going to cost for a rapid transit system or light rail, whatever you want to call it, which looked to me like somewhere what I was hearing, multi-billions of dollars to do that. And there's just no way, whenever you take the total population, divide that number into billions, you can see it was not feasible in terms of the economics to it.
Yeah, in fact, Michael Johnson said at the State of the Community meeting last week that it was like, I don't know, $7, $8, or $9 billion to do it.
Right, that was the number that I, since it's been clarified or stated now, that was the number that we were battering around with, $7 billion, somewhere in that neighborhood. So it was... really off, like I said, it's decades into the future.
Right.
So the thing is, why not go ahead and use existing systems? Look, if you can drive nonstop out of York, all the way to York, and you're taking a train, say, 60 mile an hour nonstop, because it doesn't stop for stoplights, and you keep on going with some intermediate stops, it doesn't take you long to find yourself sitting in Charlotte.
Sure.
So it's, especially if you're taking about 500 people at a time, picture most people are driving one person per car, that's 500 cars right off the road, right off the bat.
Right.
So you can see what a advantage this would have, but not having to go to like what I was in China and even in Sweden, where you're riding trains are doing 180 mile an hour, and the one in China that was almost 262 miles an hour.
Yeah, bullet train.
So that train was really moving, you know.
So you've had some informal conversations, and I guess you've planted the seed. You have to find out whether it's going to germinate at all and whether or not council will say, you know what, we ought to start looking at this sooner rather than later.
Yeah, like I said, whenever you have a study committee, you usually have volunteers on there, so it's not going to cost anything in terms of the county on this, in terms of being able to have a group to come together to study something like this, see if it's feasible, what it would cost, what are some of the ramifications, what federal funds are available, for example, in terms of rapid systems. Because like I said, I did pull up some, but I didn't know whether or not those statutes were current or not, you know, in terms of monies that the government is putting into light rail type or mass transportation rail type systems that they were doing. So the question there is, that could we do that here and get those funds down here, which look to me there's a possibility. So it's, like I said, it's going to take a study group to go do this.
Well, you know, it's as you say, it's somebody's got to come up with something to be looked at before the traffic just gets so snarled nobody can move anyway. I mean, if you're not proactive on some type of an alternative solution, we're going to be in that F stage, as the former mayor used to say, and nobody's going to be able to move from point A to point B.
We're already with some of the roads, as you know, we're stressed as it is. You want to cross Buster Boy, for example, I-77, Cherry Road, for example, Selney's now. I remember whenever we widened Selney's, because I was involved with the second Pennies for Progress, and I've seen what's happened. You know, way more widen them. Next thing you know, they're full.
They are.
And right now, to go from I-77 to get out to Newport is a struggle come 5 o'clock between the amount of traffic and all the traffic lights. That's another problem that you have to say to yourself in terms of synchronization of lights. Does it make sense to go do that as part of this whole package? You know, so it would look to me like to try to come in with a comprehensive plan to see if it's feasible to pull all this off, to activate the existing rail lines, also some of the traffic flow that would help complement it. And also, how do you feed into the initiative that City Rock Hill's done with a bus system, which I think is pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen that around here a number of times now. So I think that John Getty's them, you know, deserve a round of applause on that one here by implementing that and getting it started.
Fare free, too.
Yeah, and they're free. That's the other thing.
Totally electric and fare free.
Right.
Can't beat that.
You know, there's no way you can argue on that one there. None whatsoever.
Well, I'm thinking to myself that maybe somebody by the name of Chet Miller might somewhere down the line here have a presentation to the York County Council about what we've just spent a half an hour talking about here to try to activate them to say, you know what, this is a good idea. We'd like you to chair the study committee.
I bet
you'd be willing to do that.
Well, here's on all of them, as you know, my involvement here, you know, being with the chamber and everything else, and all what I volunteered my time over the past 17 years by invitation, you know. So, yeah, if the county would decide, just like Michael Johnson had asked me to be involved with the buildings, you know, the study there, and then also I agreed, then I would be chairperson for the bond referendum. So it was by invitation, you know, where they say, hey, we want to go do it, would you be involved? And the answer at that time was yes. And on this one here, obviously, I would be remiss to turn around and say no, I wouldn't be involved to help them out with it.
Chet Miller, I can't thank you enough for all that you do for York County, and this is just another great idea. We hope this will, you know, take blossom and grow. We'll see what happens. But thanks for all you do, buddy. Appreciate you being here today.
Thank you.
Chet Miller, our guest this afternoon on our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Now, we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, where we prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week right before your eyes. And, of course, there's only one way to do it, and that's the Substation 2 way. We all say it together, 1, 2, 3, slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. All right, have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tonight. High school football begins at 6 o'clock on the OTS Sports Network. Wonderful weekend ahead. Bye.